Would you open up your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1? 2 Timothy chapter 1. I was in this scripture last week in the message, and I'm going to come back to that and start off there and focus in on one particular aspect. And as usual, the words to songs and things that were already spoken by a number of different people really apply to what we're going to talk about today. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And what I'm going to focus in on today, what I think the Lord wants us to focus in on, is sound mind. Because it seems like that's maybe not as prevalent in the world today, even in the church today, as it needs to be. And we've talked before, this goes back to some of the messages that were brought about, the church is supposed to be the salt of the earth, and if the church, if the salt loses its savor, then it's not really good for anything. And it will be trampled underfoot by men. And we can see how that's really playing itself out in at least in our country, where I think the church in so many ways, which have already been spoken of in some aspects already, we've lost some of that savor because some people just think going to church does make them better. When it doesn't, where people can see the sin in others but miss the sin in themselves, and develop a pretty hearty attitude toward other people, even other people in the church, that people can look and judge and make comparisons and create an attitude of heart that is not good at all. So I want to talk today about us pursuing this sound mind, okay? A sound mind. And I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 5. This is where we're actually going to begin the message for today. What I just read was from last week, and that's the stepping stone to get into the message about talking about a sound mind, and we're going to look at the aspect that's the most important part of that. Okay, Ephesians chapter 5. It's going to be verse 15. I'm going to come back to this section of Scripture toward the end, but I want to get this. You notice that it's after a scripture that I really have been brought to a lot in messages over the last few years. Awake, you that sleep. You know, we can be very sleepy when it comes to spiritual things. Even those that, and I think all of us here, want to be awake to the things of God and be alive to the Spirit. And yet we can still fall asleep a lot, get distracted a lot. I don't think it's by any happenstance that verse 15 follows verse 14. I mean the words that follow, not that 15 follows 14. Right? Okay, so now here's what it says in verse 15. "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Now, the message is going to have, I wrote a lot, I put a lot down this time. I felt like I needed to write down things because everything that the Lord had spoken to me, I really felt like I don't want to miss saying any of these things. And some of it are things I said to Kathy. I said, this is really kind of a funny situation here. The message that I'm going to bring today, I don't feel like I'm really that well versed in. And really, any of us to any degree. It's called wisdom. You know? And so here I'm bringing a message, and I need to hear this as much as anybody, and it's very, very important for us that we see the importance of having God's wisdom for things. Now, you and I can approach this as, oh, okay, you know, I've heard messages about wisdom before. I think I know what he's going to say. And you could miss the heart of God coming through to touch you and have the sword of the Spirit get right in and pierce right into you. And that's one of these things that we've got to do where he said, God, whatever you want to say to me, I want it to go deep. You know, I want it to pierce all the way through. It has the ability to. But you know what? You and I can shut that off. We can shut it off unbeknowing, because if we just have a casual attitude, not that we're saying, I don't want to hear this, I don't want to, you know, that's one way of shutting it off, but just being casual and thinking that we know things, and really we don't, right? So like any word of God, whether you're reading it yourself or you're contemplating and thinking and asking God for it, you know, you have to reach in for this yourself, right? All right, so here's what, see then that you walk circumspectly. What does that word mean? You know, if you read something in the Bible and you don't know the meaning of the word, you should, well, you could make it up, but then you might not be walking the way you need to. You could be fooling yourself. You could end up being a fool for coming up with your own. I'm not saying that to him. I know that's what you were thinking. Yeah. Now, to be circumspect about something is that there's a carefulness that's involved. Circumnavigate the world, what's going on? You're going around. You're looking at everything. To be circumspect really means that you're being heedful of all the circumstances. That you're not just, you know, flipping through life. You're being circumspect. You're seeing things happen. You notice how people are saying what they're saying, as well as what they're saying. You're considering everything. The dictionary definition of circumspectly is heedful of circumstances and potential consequences. You're heedful of. Before you go and do something, you think about that circumspectly. You think, well, what would be the consequences of me doing this? We do this a lot in regular life, right? Shouldn't that be true of any part of our life, spiritual part of life, as well as just the natural part of life? And the other word that's used in this definition of being circumspect is to be prudent, okay? So to be prudent is the same thing as being circumspect, and to walk circumspectly. Now, I'm stressing prudent with being, just walking circumspectly is how it says. And then it says, not as fools, but as wise. So there's some kind of connection between wisdom and walking circumspectly. There's a connection between wisdom and being prudent, right? In fact, the scripture makes that same kind of definition of wisdom, of being wise and being prudent, which means to be circumspect, to consider all of the circumstances, be heedful of all of the circumstances that are going on and the consequences thereof. If you would turn in your Bibles, you're gonna look at a lot of scripture today, or at least hear a lot of scripture. You know how usually when I have a message, the notes that I have usually take up about this much space, right? Okay. Well, that's the amount of space. Because I thought it was important, and I did write down what the scriptures actually say. So it isn't like, don't think that it's going to be, that my message is going to be 3 hours long, because it won't be. But I do want you to know that, these are things I want to make sure, definitions, for us to flesh out understanding. Because if we're talking about wisdom, we're going to be talking about understanding things. And you know, when you're in school or even just in regular life, and I heard somebody say this, I think it was Kelly, when you don't understand a word, do you just go, oh, well, that doesn't matter? Maybe some people do that, you know? But we shouldn't be that way, should we? We should have enough energy to say, you know what, I've got to look that up. Because if this word is in this sentence, I better know what the sentence really means. I can't just come up with my own definitions. You know, I need to know what the Word of God is saying for me. Right? So, we're going to look here. Here's the dictionary. And this is why it takes up some space, is because there's a couple definitions that I want to get to here. All right, wisdom. Definition. It is the accumulated philosophic or scientific learning. In other words, your knowledge. Wisdom can mean just all of the knowledge that you've accumulated. That's the wisdom that you walk in. Now, most of us think of wisdom as a little bit more than just head knowledge. And this is what the rest of the definition here is. It's the ability to discern inner qualities and relationships. Definition. Okay? So, I wrote down, that would be like insight. You have insight into things. You have the wisdom to see past and through and inside of the things that are happening with people or situations, right? You understand that? Now, the other thing, the other definition of wisdom is having good sense, which means you have good judgment. You can talk to a person and you have a good judgment the kind of person they are. You got some wisdom there, right? A situation comes up and you have some good judgment about what to do in that situation. That's being wise. That's having wisdom. Okay, so that's the definition. Now, I want you to go to, we're going to be a lot in Proverbs. Some things I'll have you go to and others I will not. But a lot of what I have written down here is out of Proverbs, which makes sense, doesn't it? That there would be a lot in Proverbs about wisdom. Okay, Proverbs 8, verse 12. The first part of it says this: I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. So you can see that being wisdom and prudence are really put together. Yes? So if wisdom dwells with prudence, that means it lives with it. It's connected intimately with it, right? So prudence and... this is not an English lesson, please. So, you know, some of you, I think your minds are already glazed over. Come on, let's get with it, because this can be spiritual food for you if you, okay, here we go. What's the next definition, you know? Yes. I do. Yeah, there's what prudence does is, and I'm going to go down the definition. That was the next thing I was going to get to. It gives some very specific things. This was not planned. She's my wife, but this wasn't like a cue for her to ask a question here. She doesn't know what I'm going to say in these messages. What's that? She hasn't told me the definitions for these yet. I had to go look them up myself. Okay, here. So I did. I went to a dictionary to make sure that I understood what that word prudence means, because when you take the time to flesh out and look through and gather more information, more knowledge about something, you're doing a wise thing, because now you have the ability to know something that you didn't know before, or at least it's more clear to you than it was before. Would you rather be in a smoky room or a room that is very clear for you to look at? I mean, you want things to be as clear as possible to you. And when we're talking about things of the Spirit and things of the Lord, spiritual matters, shouldn't we be very clear about it instead of some nebulous kind of general idea of what something means? We should, if we really love God and want to pursue God, then we should pursue His Word. Shouldn't we? All right, so here's the definition of prudence. There's 1, 2, 3, 4 different ways that prudence is defined. Here's one of them. The ability to govern and discipline oneself by the use of reason. Now, I find this very, very interesting, because there's so many Christians who think that if they use their brain and if they reason something out, that's not of faith. That somehow faith and reason are two different things. And yet, the Scripture tells us that we should be pursuing wisdom and prudence. We're going to get to some of those scriptures. And the very essence of what being prudent and wise is that you reason something through. So faith and reason are not opposing forces that you have to throw reason out when you make decisions. That doesn't prove you're more spiritual if you just go by some nebulous feeling that you have about what you should do in life. Reason is important when it comes to pursuing the things of God just as well as other things. Do you understand this? We need to have a discipline of mind, a discipline of body, and it has to be disciplined by reason. For example, and this comes back to this whole thing about being circumspect, thinking about consequences. Oh, reason. Let's see. If I use my reason, if I continue to sin in this area, wonder what the consequence is. And your reason can help you go, you know what? Even though I like sliding into that thing, it's not very reasonable of me to keep doing that, because there is not a good consequence waiting for me if I don't give that up at some point in time. That you're using your reason, aren't you? You and I, as Christian people, need to be reasonable. We need to think something through, don't we? The big thing that's different is that we need to reason according to the Word of God. That's where God's wisdom is higher than our wisdom. When it talks about faith is going to be according to the Word of God. And so you need to be reasonable. You need to reason things out according to the Scriptures, not according to your feelings. Yes? Not according to the wisdom of man, which will reason things through, according to a darkened understanding of what life is all about. But because man's reasoning is flawed, doesn't mean that Christians should be throwing reason to the wind. Should we? Okay. So that's the beginning of what we're going to talk about. Okay. I don't know if I can. What? Oh, the prudence is the ability. That's why I wrote these things down. The ability to govern and discipline oneself by the use of reason. Okay? That's being prudent.
And it's oneself, it's not others.
No, no. And I wanted to get to that too. This, we're talking about ourselves and how we think and discipline ourselves.
Okay?
Yeah, these thoughts have to have some action to it. Because that's where the faith comes in, doesn't it? Faith without works is dead. In other words, faith requires action. Or should promote action of some type. Okay? All right. Here is another one. And again, I'm going to throw a little monkey wrench into the way the church has taken something and thrown it around the wrong way. Prudence is also shrewdness in the management of affairs. Shrewdness. Now, that word, to be shrewd, has, I think today, more of a negative connotation. Because listen to some of the synonyms of shrewd. Sharp, piercing, marked by clever, discerning awareness. That doesn't sound too bad though, does it? Wily, an artful way of dealing. Devious, scheming, unscrupulous. That doesn't sound too good, does it? And, of course, in the negative side of things, we would say, well, I don't want to be shrewd. That has negative connotations to it. But it also has some good things. Do you see this? Here's some other definitions. Astute. How many of you would like to be astute? I would like to be an astute learner. Don't you, Whitney? Absolutely. To be astute, you know, it's astute means I. Kathy, what's astute mean? Can you give me something else? Can you give me another word? Is that it? Because to me, when I think of astute, I think in terms of the wisdom of that. I think of to be astute is like really paying attention, right? Very aware. To be astute of something, you're being very aware, right? And so astute and shrewd, I like that part of being shrewd, don't you? Cunning, calculating. Now, the word calculating, if you're talking about mathematics, that's pretty straightforward. You know your times tables. You know your addition facts. You know some different facts and understandings of things. Isn't that right? Yeah. Okay. Okay. All right. So, and this is why The scripture says in Matthew 10:16, Jesus says, and this has always bothered me before, be as wise as serpents. And you go, oh, yuck. As wise as serpents, but as harmless as doves. Wonder why he said that. Because there is something about being calculating and shrewd and cunning and astute that has positive aspects to it. And this is what Jesus is saying. You need to be sharp and piercing and look through a matter. You need to be that way. You need to look at details of things. You need to have an awareness. Right? That's the good part. That's being as wise as serpents, because serpents, they're pegging everything out. They're looking. They set their traps. They do all these different things. And yet that's, but then Jesus wants to make sure we don't become as devious and cunning in the bad way that most men will take that, by saying, but as harmless or as gentle as doves. Peaceful little animals. Nice little birdies. Don't you see that? See what Jesus qualified this whole thing of being as wise as a serpent in terms of its of the scheming that a serpent is, and saying that there's something good about really searching through a matter, understanding all the little nuances of things. This is important for us as Christians to be like. Because I think a lot of times, in terms of spiritual matters, in terms of what's going on out in the world, we have a very general understanding of what's happening in the world, of what's happening in the spirit realm, on what's happening inside of us, in why we act and react the way that we do. It's very general, and we can just throw scripture, but not have any, and that came up earlier, we can just throw some scripture at it, but have no real understanding of what that means. This is what Reggie was saying, you know. People can throw scripture out to people. Somebody's going through a particular thing, and somebody comes up with this scripture. Well, unless there's some real understanding to the knowing what the scripture, how it applies, what it's all about, and if you haven't just thought that through, how can you just throw a scripture without giving some wisdom that goes with that scripture? You know? All right. Just some things to think about as people of the church. Because people outside of the church, they hear these one-liners coming from church people. They hear a scripture thrown out to answer a question, and because we have some background understanding of the scripture, that's all we do. We throw out a scripture to somebody, and then we expect them to have all this great understanding. If we don't have the wisdom from God to go with the scriptures that we're using, of what good are we? The savor is gone. The salt is not salty any longer. Because it's easy to memorize a few scriptures and then throw it at somebody. It's easier that way. Don't you think? And God wants us to be people that pursue. You know, you go, my gosh, how can I do all this? I mean, I got all this stuff to do. And well, what's the most important thing about this life? Shouldn't we make sure that we do spend some time, instead of playing the darn little video games or whatever else is your little thing that you like to do, and I like to do, maybe there's time that we could go, you know what, I could better use this time a different way. Maybe pursuing something that's going to give me some spiritual knowledge or any kind of knowledge. Yeah? If you think that you're hearing a message from God right now through, you know, then I hope that you go, you know what? I better not let this go. I better contemplate this a little bit. What's this?
Contemplate.
Yeah, there's this a sculpture by Rodin called The Thinker. How much hours in the day, or maybe it isn't even going to be plural, how many hours in the day do people really take to contemplate, to think through things, to look out ahead of just today and say, I'm getting ahead of myself because that's something that's coming up. We're not as wise as we might think we are. You know? And
in 8 hours, I can tell you that.
Yeah, I mean, there are some exceptions, like Joe. Now, Joe is one of the wiser. Oh, okay. Well, that's a good thing. That's being prudent. If we get into adjectives for Joe, we might run amok here, so we won't.
Yeah, he's thinking ahead about what TV show he's
going to be recording on TiVo. Okay. All right. Let me get to some of these other things. Okay, I haven't finished all of this yet. Another definition of prudence: skill and good judgment in the use of resources. For example, you can be very wise if you know how to use your time better. Boy, that was a good, wise use of time. Yeah? That was a wise use of money by not just spending it on that bigger TV, but you did an investment that's going to produce something more for your family in the long run. How's that? Is that a better use of your resources?
Yes.
Yeah, it is. Okay, that kind of idea. And then finally, yeah. And then here's the last of the definitions for prudence. It's caution or circumspection. Okay, you heard that word before? When did you hear it? Just a few minutes ago. Caution, yeah. About 3 hours ago. Caution or circumspection as to danger or risk. So that's looking at all the options, thinking about the consequences. Foreseeing and looking ahead and saying, yeah, you know, if things keep going in the world like this, then this is probably going to be one of the outcomes of that. And if these outcomes start to press in on me, what would I do? You're being wise by looking ahead, right? Seeing something that's risky or dangerous and thinking about it and thinking of consequences and being circumspect about those things. Okay? All right. I'm not going to have you go to these, but I wrote these down. Ecclesiastes 7:12. So if you're writing for your notes, Ecclesiastes 7:12 says, wisdom is a defense. Money is a defense, but the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom gives life to them that have it. Yeah. Wisdom gives life to you and me. Proverbs 13, through eight, Proverbs 3:13-18 says that wisdom is more precious than silver and gold and rubies. It brings happiness. It brings a pleasantness of mind. It's a tree of life. Yeah, that's what it says. Proverbs 3:35 says, the wise will inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. If we're not wise, then guess what? We're foolish. Another way of saying that is, you're a fool. We're fools. If we're not wise, then we're fools. And it says that, but there will be shame. The result of being a fool is shame. Why didn't I just do that? Why didn't I listen to my parents when they told me this, this, and this? Why didn't, you know, I read that in the scripture and I just didn't think about it. It was just words to me. I didn't pursue it. I didn't ask God to make the written word life, because we know that the scriptures are life, aren't they? The word of God is life to us.
Amen.
I mean, it can be.
All right.
Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is the main thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all you're getting, get understanding. Please, God, I want to understand this, and I want to be able to circumspectly pursue these things and understand how things apply and give me insight and how to use this knowledge that you're showing me that comes out of the Word of God. Show me how this applies. Right? Proverbs 19:8 says this, he who gets wisdom loves his own soul. Yeah. James. This is great. I was going to have you turn here, but I don't think I will. James 1:5. If any person lacks wisdom, what does the scripture say? All you will ask and it will be given to you. Oh my goodness gracious. You know, there's not one of us that can say, I know everything about everything. I am in need of nothing. Right? I'm rich. I'm rich in knowledge. I'm rich in all these things. And then the scripture tells us, yeah, but don't you know that you're really miserable and poor and blind and naked? You don't really have what you really need. And all of us could fit into that category if we're humble enough to think about it. Isn't that right? Yeah. Yeah, he had godly wisdom at first, but he did turn from some of that. All right. What's the beginning of wisdom? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you don't have a reverence for God, His Word, what He's done for us on the cross, if there's no reverence for that, just awesomeness, all about who He is. If there's no reverence there for God, you think that you and I are going to have the wisdom that comes from above? No, we'll just have the earthly kind of wisdom. Wisdom that comes from above starts with having a reverence for God, who He is as creator. all that he's made, his awesome power, the son dying for us, that wonderful plan of salvation, shouldn't that put inside of us a reverence for who he is?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do we revere men who can kill the body but can't do anything to the soul, but and not have a reverence for God who can kill both body and soul? Yeah. When we think about those things, we go, well, sure, absolutely. And then we can walk out of here and then live a life and go back into habit patterns where we don't even consider that while we pursue our own things. Flesh, yes. Okay. It's quiet in here. You thinking? Okay, that's good. Now, Kathy and I were talking about this on the way up. Proverbs 13:20. Why don't you turn there? Proverbs 13:20. Here is one of the reasons why it is good to get together with numerous other Christians of the same kind of thought patterns. Okay? It says this. Proverbs 13, verse 20. He that walks with wise men shall be wise. You know? Huh? Really? Who you hang around with on a more consistent basis, you're going to become more like them. You know that? All of you guys know this. You know this from your own personal experience. When you're hanging out, a bunch of drinkers and whatever else you want to say, you tend to flow that way. If they do a lot of cursing and foul language and dirty jokes and all that, you tend to, at least if you don't partake yourself, you don't usually say too much. You just kind of blend, right? And this is why it's important that we get around one another as much as we can, because if we walk with other wise people, then we will be wise. I know Kathy will be a little embarrassed. I'm going to use this example. Notice the pregnant pause before I say what it is. About 20 years ago, we were looking to increase our personal income. And so we were both teaching at the time. We decided to get into Amway. Yeah, okay. Yeah, so to talk about it, the Amway experience, Kathy cringes, so that was why I said that. Anyway. So, but one of the things that they said was that if you want to make money, then you need to get around people and listen to people and read books by people that have become successful. If you want to be successful, then you can't hang around with people that are not successful. Now, but this is in terms of wealth and money and all that kind of stuff. And that... So we just threw that one over our shoulder. No, it is a good example. Because this is where we disagree. If we would have hung in there, I think it would have worked out. But that wasn't what was important, as important to us. Wealth compared to getting around people that are church people that have the Spirit of God in them. You understand what we're saying? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there are things, but I'm just saying that you could apply this in almost any area of life that you want to look at. If you want a particular thing, then hang around people that are successful in that area. If you believe that there's a bunch of wise people in a certain place, why wouldn't you want to be around them? Or at least listen to what they say. Or read their books. And we know who the wisest person is in the whole world. Don't we? Who is that? Okay, let's take it another level higher. If we go a level higher, we come out, we could go on maybe a number of levels, but we would get to God himself, Jesus, and in 1 Corinthians 1:24, I think it is, it says that Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. So we have a very good advantage coming in, assembling ourselves together, because not only do we get around other wise people who've got the message and who want to serve God and who know that life is in the Word of God, there's wisdom there. And if we hang around with those kinds of people, then we're going to become that much more wise. Yeah? Is that something that something you want? Do you treasure that wisdom? All right. I thought this was interesting, dealing with wisdom. Matthew 25:4 says that the wise virgins, you know, there were five wise, five what? Yeah, or foolish. There were five wise virgins and five foolish virgins. Which group would you like to be in?
Wise.
Yeah, I think we would want to be in the wise. And this is what it says about the wise virgins. They put oil in their lamps. The foolish virgins, would you say that a little louder? No, it wasn't the exact opposite. What the foolish didn't do was they did not put any oil in their lamps. Now, you can go into all kinds of spiritual understandings of what that means. But basically, it comes down to this. The five wise ones prepared their lamps. The bridegroom was coming, and they heard that, and they prepared. Whereas the foolish didn't prepare themselves. They knew the bridegroom was coming, but they didn't prepare themselves. The difference between the wise and the foolish in this example that Jesus gives us is that people get the message and then they do something about it. Yeah.
Right.
They're obedient. They do what is required, what is reasonable. Yeah?
Yeah.
You know, the giving of our body, soul, and spirit to God is our reasonable service of worship. To give everything, just like that song says. Completely. Let him reign in every place of our being. Right?
Right.
How are we doing back there? You doing okay? Is it taping?
Yes, of course.
Good. Okay. I'm not mad. Okay.
It's gonna run out of room now, pretty soon.
God told me, I am going to go down through every one of these scriptures. So I'm going to be obedient to him. And then after the 15th one to go, then we'll take a lunch break. Then we're going to come back, and then I'll finish it off. Okay, here we go. Matthew 7. Matthew chapter 7. Everybody knows this scripture. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 24 says this. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and what, Kathy? Does them, right? Not just hearing, but doing. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a what? A wise man. A wise man is someone who reads the word of God and asks God to make it clear, make it something that can be applied in their life. They flesh out an understanding of what's going on. It isn't just a casual, oh, let me see. I can see if I can retain this in my memory and then I can use it some other place. No, it's something that's going to be real and growing and living inside of a person, right? So anybody that does that, Jesus says he is likened unto a wise man who has built their house upon a rock. And when the rains come and the floods come and the winds blow, it will not fall because it's founded on the rock. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and doesn't do them will be likened unto a foolish man who built his house on sand. So even though they have the word of God, they're pretty foolish if they don't put into practice, into asking God to every day make whatever it is that they need to know real. Yeah? So that's something about a wise man. They put in practice the things that the Lord speaks to them. I am going to just mention this. I was going to have you turn to it, but Deuteronomy 4:6, talking about listening to the words of God and doing them, it says that I'm going to paraphrase. Deuteronomy 4:6 says, "By keeping the statutes of God, the Jewish nation is a great nation who is wise and understanding." This is as a nation. Deuteronomy 28 says that there's blessings in obeying and doing the statutes of the Lord, but there's a curse on the nation who doesn't. Isn't that right? Okay. All right. One final scripture. I was teasing about the 50. Proverbs 22. We're going to close with this. Proverbs 22. And this is going to really, make the impact that the Lord made on me. Proverbs 22, verse 3, is talking about a prudent man. Now listen. A prudent man, it says, foresees evil and hides himself. But the simple suffer the consequences. A prudent man sees evil coming, and he does something about it. It says he hides himself. And if you search out scripture, well, what would that actually mean? You can look that up in Psalm 91, verses 1 through 9, where it talks about being hidden under the wings of the Almighty. I've mentioned this before. So, hiding is hiding in God. Now, does that mean that we're physically going to be hidden? No, no. All of the scriptures that talk about this are dealing with right up here. To be hid in Christ doesn't mean that we're still not in the world and those evil, dirty people can't touch us. Because you know that Christians have been persecuted all through all the centuries. If God meant that we would be hidden and that we're under the protection of the Almighty, then nothing would ever happen to us. But that isn't what happens. And so the scripture is very clear. It's talking about our minds being hidden in God, being having its refuge in God, so that we would be at peace, so that we would feel the strength of God to speak or not speak, and be directed by Him on every occasion. Whether we die or don't die, whether we're tortured for the faith or we're not, whether we're ridiculed or not ridiculed, and go down through all that list of things that happened to Paul. All those things happened to Paul. So it isn't that we're protected. When it talks about us being protected, it's a protection of our mind. We end up with a sound mind when we hide ourselves in Christ. We have an understanding of what's going on, and we have the strength of mind to make the right kinds of decisions. So that when somebody says, denounce Christ or die, our mind is clear enough to go, well, if I denounce Christ, this is not a good thing for me. I would rather die. And so you make a reasoned, sound mind, disciplined understanding of what is going on in this world, and you would rather choose to die in Christ and be with the Lord than to turn your back on. Right?
Amen.
That requires a peace of mind. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If somebody came up and put a gun to your head, just like that, right now, with no guns pointed at your head, all of us would go, oh, no, I wouldn't be nervous, upset. I would be just fine. But you don't, you know, unless you have really been hidden in Christ, over many, many times, searching and asking for the wisdom and the understanding to do and say whatever needs to be done, who knows? Right? Mm-hmm. Who knows? But I'll tell you what, the more we are seeking the Lord Himself and we're hiding in Him, therefore, we will have the strength, the sound mind, the power to overcome all the darts of the enemy and be able to do whatever is required of us as Christian men and women. You believe that?
Yes.
I think we'll need it in the days ahead. Mm-hmm. So that we really can be at peace, not just talk about it, not just assume that we will be, but that we will be, because we are pursuing the Word of God, Jesus Himself, and are really hidden in Him, so where we'll find a source of protection for our minds. Yeah. Because that's where it's at. This I wrote down here, running to a place of protection and refuge, which is really a state of mind. The refuge is the state of mind that we find ourselves able to be in. It allows a person to think clearly, reasonably, and insightfully. So Lord, we thank You today that that is the spirit that You've given us. Not of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Thank You, Lord, today. You are with us. You are the power of Jesus. You are the power of God and the wisdom of God. And we embrace You today.